Good evening, and welcome to this episode of Effingham Talks. We are broadcasting from our home, the beautiful Stillwell Pines event venue located just outside of Springfield. If you are looking for a venue, you can find them on the web at www.stillwellpines.com, on Facebook at Stillwell Pines Event Venue, or give them a call at 912-665-2631 for a personal tour of the facility. We would also like to thank our other two sponsors, Hendiac LLC and Metalclad Industries, for their support. Today on this episode, we have Curtis Parker, owner of Firefighter Pressure Washing LLC, joining us by phone, Tyler Myrick, owner of TSM Pressure Washing, and Ryan Work, owner of Soaps and Hose LLC. Thank y'all for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, sir.
This is a new format, so we're looking forward to it. It should be pretty fun. But we're going to start with you, Curtis.
Yes, sir.
Curtis, what's been going on since you've last been on the show?
Staying busy with my full-time job and also the business, of course, especially this time of year, as I'm sure the other two gentlemen know, is a very hectic time of year, kind of the start of the pressure washing season, or I should say you're probably 2 months in. And then of course personal life stuff going on too as well in the background, you know, kind of like everyone else, day to day busy on top of your job and your career busy. But well, yeah, I can't say anything too abnormal.
Well, congratulations on your promotion to captain.
Yes, sir, thank you. Long time coming, hard work, and a lot of help from good leadership and good mentors for me to learn from. But yes, sir, I appreciate it.
Let me ask you, are you expanding to any new areas?
As far as with the pressure washing?
Yes.
As far as that goes?
Yes, yes.
So I've been in the pressure washing for, I think, 31 years now. I used to do the restaurant exhaust hoods with some exterior stuff on the side. That was kind of where the family business started off at. But the last 5 years, which worked out, was a blessing. I just do exterior pressure washing, some window cleaning, roof blowing, soft washing, roof washing, things like that. But none of the interior exhaust duct and window cleaning anymore. I've kind of gotten away from that. And I primarily focus on just exterior stuff.
Okay. And are you just staying here in Effingham and Chatham County?
I do go to Bryan County and even Bullitt County every now and then, but primarily it's, yes, sir. I mean, I even go over to Hilton Head and Bluffton. I have some customers that have houses in Chatham and houses over on the beach. Primarily, most of my work, I would say 80 to 90% is Effingham and Chatham County.
Okay. Now, I didn't know this until after we done the first show, because I don't think we talked about it, but your dad owned a separate pressure washing business than yours. I always assumed that that was his business. Can you tell us a little bit about his pressure washing business?
So, what the two gentlemen know that are with you, there's a lot of different things that you can do with the pressure washing. So kind of what we're in, the exterior stuff is what majority of people are in. But then of course you have fleet washing, you have equipment, heavy equipment wash. My dad's company was built around restaurant exhaust hood cleaning. He started it back in 1994. And what it was it was a way to raise money for me and my sister about to go to college. And there was maybe one other business in the area doing it at the time. And he ended up staying in it up until when he passed away back in December. And now my mom runs that business. But I mean, this would have been his 31st year in it. And he had a really good, great customer base. He did all the major restaurant groups in Savannah, Hilton Head, Bluffton, Statesboro. He primarily built his business around local restaurants. He had tried to get a whole chain route when he first got in it, They're not consistent. They're always looking for just the lowest price, not quality of work. And he built his business around going after those chains. Some of the businesses like Spanky's, Olympia Cafe down on River Street, those have been with him since 1994, 1995, and they're still customers. So he had a really good reputation in the area and been at it a long time. And that was what I learned to do initially and where I learned about the pressure washing, power washing in general.
Curtis, this is Andy Hudson with Metal Clad Industries. From time to time, they asked me to fill in. By chance, your father wouldn't have been Doug Parker, would it?
Yes, sir. That was him.
Wow. Yes, wow. What an extraordinary man.
Yeah, he was a preacher in Effingham. That's what he moved here for, was to preach at Elam, Egypt. And then the church kind of had a division and split. He had another church, and he was a pastor up until really the last 6 or 7 years, because he had a really very rare kidney disease. So he was on dialysis for about 13 years.
Well,
and then, back end of last year, dialysis just wore him out. He just decided to stop and kind of called her on his terms. And the last 2 weeks, he met with friends and family, and he passed away on December 8th. He was multifaceted too. He was doing a church while he was doing the business.
Well, I'm going to have to tell you a personal note about your dad. He was a people person. I remember when I started my business, we started about the same time. I was the gentleman who made all y'all stainless steel clips to hold your filter racks in place. Do you remember me now?
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay, that's a small world. I can understand that the steam cleaning is a niche.
It's a, very much.
It's an exhausting excursion, I would dare say, to get it right. I think if some people, if they would examine a person's hood in their business or come to the back door of a restaurant, they wouldn't come in the front door if they didn't clean their hood. So, your dad had a great name for himself personally and professionally. Sad to see, and my condolences to your family again. But I didn't put y'all two together, and I remember you as a young man. So hats off to you to keeping a portion of him in everything you do. So he was an Effingham County impactor. He done a lot of things behind the scene, even with his church. So you got some big shoes to fill, but I know he raised you right, and you do a good job.
Yes, sir. And the thing is, this is a lot of people ask me how I've been able to do both jobs. You know, as I said, my dad, being called in the ministry, he always felt like he had to support us, so he had always had a business on the side. So it's just something I've always been around. And if anybody that knew my dad, he was very much, like you're saying, a people person, very hands-on. And as far as transitioning from doing the exhaust hood cleaning, where you have to use hot pressure washers all the time, there's a lot more dangerous side to it, being on roofs, cleaning ductwork, stuff like that. It definitely gave me a heads up and a huge head start in the pressure washing, as far as understanding the equipment, understanding how to protect people's property. I mean, it's funny because people are always like, can you cover my door? Can you cover this? And from being around him, we always had to carry Visqueen plastic for everything to protect all the equipment from the grease. And so ever since I started pressure washing, I've always carried 2 rolls of Visqueen plastic for the ass to protect, just because that's the thing that he taught me all the time about making sure you're looking out for people's equipment and property. But yes, sir, I've definitely been carrying on a lot of things I've learned through him.
Well, if you worked for him long enough, he done a phenomenal job. How about you're not wanting to do any more exhaust cleanings or anything like that? You've kind of decided that altogether.
Yes, sir. It came down to I was doing it for a while, and I had 3 employees, and I was doing well. But then it's night work, so it's hard to keep employees. Mm-hmm. And it really came down to the sleep deprivation. I was having to go 1 or 2 nights a week when I wasn't expecting it. And so the transition to the exterior pressure washing, you know, is either just early in the mornings or daytime. And between my full-time job, obviously, being a professional firefighter, I already, you know, kind of fight the sleep deprivation thing already. So I gave it up. And like I said, I mean, God's blessed me with the pressure washing. I made some good connections. I've learned that, like the gentleman that you have there with you now, even though I don't know him, I've actually learned to work with other pressure washers. Sometimes there's jobs I can't get to. I'll refer to someone else and vice versa. That's actually really helped me a lot. And then also, like you were saying about my father, he was very big on making sure you had a good name. So trying to tell people what you're going to do, doing it, following through with it, even if I get a call back on something that might not necessarily be my fault, always trying to follow back through with that, even if it costs me money or time. Those little things, I mean, they've always made a huge difference. And over the years, I saw him work for my dad, and I've just carried that through. Wow. So that's kind of where I've gone. But yeah, the exhaust hood cleaning, can't say I'll never go back into it, never say never, but right now, transitioning to the exterior stuff has been really good for me and my family.
Well, congratulations on you on becoming a captain. You're able to impact many, many people just on that particular part. Yeah, we have your brothers here. You know, a brotherhood doesn't matter if it's a fabrication industry or automotive industry or pressure washing. There's a select few to always stick together. You're always going to have your adversaries. But most of the time you're able to, you know, build a bridge, you know, within your industry.
I really find out that you get a lot of good guys in it, like you really do. I mean, I've built out, because of being around it since I was a kid, I've built out trailers for people, helped build out their flatbed rigs. I've helped work on pressure washers or burners or whatever for other people's equipment that, you know, people would be like, oh, that's your rival or that's this. And it's always come back around to be a blessing every time. I mean, I helped a guy build out his trailer last year, and he had a piece of equipment go down. This just happened 4 days ago. And he was on the job, and he's like, man, I've got to get this equipment going. I don't have time to do this job. How about I just give you the job? So, I mean, I wouldn't have gotten that job without a year and a half ago, helping him build out some equipment on his trailer. And
you pay it forward.
It always does. I mean, it comes back around. And whether you want to call it the golden rule or, you know, treat others as you want to be treated, whether you're a Christian or not, I tell people, even atheists have a Murphy's Law. You know, I mean, everybody has a name for it. And it always does come back around to you.
Well, Curtis, currently how many employees do you have? Are you by yourself or do you?
Me and one other guy.
Okay.
If I get too busy, I'll use other firefighters.
Right.
I found that people know that the firemen know how to be professional, know how to show up in uniform. A lot of us have had, you know, of course, ladder classes, rope safety classes, things like that. So because we have these classes, and especially since we're really comfortable on roofs or heights or anything, whether it's getting on a deck or whatever. And then they also, everyone knows that as a professional firefighter, whether it's in Effingham or Savannah or Fuller or wherever, that you're held to a standard if you're in your community, even your civilian attire. So, you know, the calling my name, my business, Firefighter Power Wash, wasn't my idea. It was actually my customers' ideas that are from up north that really respect the fire service. And after talking to several of them and them going, you know, to help you stand out, and also at the same time, by putting a Maltese cross on your back, people have an expectation of you because you're saying loud and proud, I'm a firefighter, I serve the community, I'm in public service. And not only has it helped me grow my business, which is primarily word of mouth, I feel like from the honesty perspective and through the customer's respect and just having that faith and that we'll do what we say, I've seen where it's gone a lot farther too. So it's really held us to a higher standard, but it's worked and people appreciate it.
Absolutely.
I'm going to ask you a comical question here. I reckon you know George Strait, right?
Yes, sir.
Do they call you the fireman?
they call us firemen sometimes. They call us fire. Sometimes they can't remember our name. I don't usually tell them my rank or anything. I just tell them that we're firefighters because, you know, with so many of the females in the fire service now, okay, we don't really say firemen anymore. We say firefighters, but yeah, they'll still call us firemen or firefighters. Hey. They'll always be like the firefighter power washers or pressure washers.
Yeah, so you go around town putting out old flames?
Yep, putting out flames all the time. Yep.
We'll leave on that when I have to.
Well, Curtis, I'm so glad you joined us again. It was good hearing from you. If you want to stay on with us, you're more than welcome to.
Yeah, I'll stay on as long as I can, as long as okay. I get a call.
All right, good. Yes, good deal. So now we're going to move on to Ryan. Mr. Ryan Work from Soaps and Hose LLC. Thank you for being on the show with us today.
Thank you for having me.
And congratulations on your most fab 2025.
I appreciate that.
No problem.
Yeah, absolutely.
So tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I am 41 years old. Unlike Tyler and the other gentleman, did not grow up around here. I'm a Yankee transplant.
We won't hold that against you.
And an Ohio State fan.
Oh boy.
But you live in Effingham now, right?
Yes.
So we Effingham strong. That's all it is.
That's right.
I paid my taxes.
That's right.
Well, we kept the gate for you to come through.
Thank you. I grew up in, like I said, Northwest Pennsylvania and also South Central Ohio. My parents were split up, so I went between the two and joined the Ohio Air National Guard in 2002, right after 9/11. Decided I was going to go in the military, and I ended up moving to Georgia to work at the Marine Corps Logistics Base in Albany. I worked there for quite a long time, and then about in 2016, I moved here to Savannah to take a full-time job at my unit.
At Hunter?
Down on Hunter, yes, sir, the 117th. And that's where I'm at now. I'm still full-time there, and I'm trying to juggle that with you know, family life, the pressure washing thing and all that, and you know, training and deployments, you know, gets kind of full the schedule wise. But I've been married, very happily married, for 13 years. I think that's right. quick math. Yeah, I won't let her listen to this. I have two beautiful daughters. One is 19. She lives up in Ohio. And I have a middle schooler here at Ebenezer, and she's 12. And we'll find out here in a couple of minutes if she made a softball team. So I'm pretty excited about that. She's been practicing.
Fingers crossed.
Well, we hope so.
But I moved into Lost Plantation right after COVID. And I probably the best thing I've ever done was move, honestly, to Effingham County. Get out of Chatham County. I love the community. I love the people. I'm glad we moved here. So
good. Glad to have you. How long have you been pressure washing?
Officially, my business has been open for 3 years. It'll be 3 years in June. But I did pressure washing when I was a little kid. My grandpa was main sponsor for a late model dirt track driver. And if there's any race fans, his name is Chubb Frank out of Pennsylvania. He's pretty much a legend in late model dirt tracks. But to keep me out of trouble, my grandpa put me to work with him pressure washing his wheels and tires in his race car after a race. So to keep me out of trouble, that's when I technically started pressure washing. But then ended up moving away from there. And I worked for a guy in Sydney, Ohio, who still does the pressure washing. He's expanded into painting, but Elsner Painting is where I learned a lot from him. And then during COVID, when I was working from home, I went down a YouTube rabbit hole with pressure washing and building stuff and how to correctly do it. I bet I got 1,000 hours of YouTube University under my belt just from watching that. And then I decided to go ahead and just start up my own business, just something to do on the side, maybe have a retirement plan in place for when I retire out of the military. So
go ahead.
You know, within the pressure washing business, everybody believes pressure washing is just like painting your house. You know, everybody who can buy paint can be a painter, right? I've always thought there's painters and cover-uppers, you know. I can cover up, I can't paint. I cover me, it, and everything else. And I think that also relates to pressure washing.
It does, absolutely.
As a fabricator, there's times I'm on a job site, and there's a pressure washing. They're using some nozzles for the concrete, and then you got to use another nozzle to get way up in the air, and you can see the difference. Sometimes there's more volume of water than there is actually pressure knocking the different products off. So speak on them for a minute, the different nozzles that you would use, you know, when you're trying to get up high and it's more like using chemicals than using a brush.
Right. So the way I learned to pressure wash was I was up on a giant ladder with a nozzle, high pressure, you know, a foot away from the house. You know, that's not the right way to do it. And I know the other guys can speak to this too. It's called soft washing is what we do. And you basically put on, you can put any kind of tip on, but it ends up being like a fan nozzle. And you, it's downstreaming. So basically as the water's coming out of the machine, there's a little valve, a downstream injector that basically soaks up the cleaning solution, mixes it with the water, and that's what you spray up on the house. And that's basically what does the cleaning. That kills all the algae, gets rid of cobwebs, it'll eat that up, and all that. So, and you can put a different tip on to, it's called a shooter tip, but you'll be able to get your water, you know, depending on what machine you got, you know, 3, 4, 5 stories up in the air. So you don't even need to get on a ladder or get a lift or anything. So
in reality, using all those chemicals, I know when I try to pressure wash just a little bit, and we're not talking about pressure wash, we're talking about hose wash, just a regular hose. I wear glasses all the time. How I get all that bleach in my eye, I don't know. But I have the clearest eyes by the time I'm finished up. So tell us, what do y'all do about all this chemical get in your eyes?
So PPE is huge, and that's for anybody because, you know, if you're exposed to these chemicals, some of them are really harsh chemicals. They're very corrosive. And you got to be careful with your, you know, I wear rubber gloves when I'm working. I wear glasses, if it's sunny out, I'm wearing sunglasses. That also helps you see the dirt on the house if you have polarized lenses, believe it or not. And you just got to be super, super careful with what you're doing. And if you're using a really strong mix, like doing a roof, you want to wear a respirator. Because the last thing you want to do is pass out on top of a roof from all that chemical exposure.
And everything that's up there has got to get down to the bottom. So how about the streaking? How about the streaking? You say if you're doing a roof up top, you know, back in the day they had metal roofs that were made out of linseed oil, you know, the old metal roofs. So you kind of, when you're knocking some of that old linseed oil paint off those old standing seam panels, that stuff's got to go somewhere. So it's in every crevice and hole. And so sometimes cleaning the roof costs way more money now to get it off the side of the house.
Well, usually I haven't ran into this. If I'm doing a roof wash, I usually sell a house wash with it. Because otherwise you end up having to wash the whole house anyways, because all that's going to drip down and, like you said, cause streaks. I mean, someone may try to get a free house wash that way, but I'm not going to do a roof wash without washing the house afterwards.
So yeah,
that way it's all clean.
Yeah, a lot of times you also sell concrete is the same way. So if it drips off onto the concrete and starts running down the driveway, on sidewalks, that kind of stuff, you've got to clean everything.
So really, it can go from the roof to say some homes have that synthetic stucco. You know, I call it the FACO stucco. You know, it's not a real lather. You know, it's real, real.
Jesus.
Yeah. And so tell us how does Tyler, when you put in, just for a few minutes, you mentioned it, how do you handle the oxidation coming down that glass? You know, glass is one of the hardest things to get spots off of. So you're way up, you're 3 stories up in the air. How do you get the spots off? Do you use a different kind of chemical to get the spots off the windows?
It's really just a good rinse, main thing. And there are, you'll probably have a a window cleaning setup on y'all's truck too. It's really just a good solid rinse, unless you have like really hard water. Most of the time a good rinse will get it to 90%, you know.
So Ryan, how did you come up with the name Soaps and Hose?
I get that all the time. When I started the business, the first step is to get an LLC. So, you know, I wanted to do everything the right way, get a name, register it with, you know, the state of Georgia. And I was just sitting around with my friends. I wanted something original, something that's not, you know, because my last name is Work. I could have done a lot with that, with pressure washing, you know.
Yeah.
But I wanted something that would stick out and also, you know, kind of show, I guess, humor. But I'm a huge Step Brothers fan, and so that's where I ended up coming up with Soaps and Hose.
Got it.
I get that a lot, though. I've gotten a lot of calls just because of the name of the business. I think it's hilarious.
Wow.
I guess it helps. I didn't mean for it to, but it does. So I'm not going to complain.
Absolutely not. What areas do you service?
I service anywhere from Clio down to Richmond Hill. I haven't had any jobs in Statesboro yet, but I mainly stay local because I got a 9-to-5, you know, Monday through Friday job. I got to stay close. That way I can also balance family time. I'm not trying to, you know, be gone all weekend long doing jobs far away. So
yeah. So what's some other services you offer with Soaps and Hoses other than just pressure washing?
So I do, well, along with the pressure washing side, I do driveway sealing. So basically it waterproofs your driveway. It protects it from any kind of moisture getting down into the concrete. I've done some deck and fence wood restoration. So wood restoration is a whole process in itself. You use basically a wood cleaner, and then you let the wood cleaner, I don't like using like bleach on wood. It just bleaches it out and, you know, it takes away from the natural color. But I'll clean that, and then I go back with a wood brightener and brighten it. And then after that, once it's dry to a certain percentage of moisture content, you can stain it. So I've done some fences and decks. I also do paver resanding and sealing. So any kind of pavers in your back patio, around a pool, something like that, I can, if it needs it, is take all the sand out, clean it, resand it with new sand, and then seal that as well. So.
Okay. So what's something recently you've done for the community?
So it's actually been a couple months, but this is since they did the unveiling of it a couple days ago. I'll go ahead and speak to this. I met Lindsay Giroux. She's an Effingham artist. I met her at a chamber event. It was actually the first one I went to there in Springfield. I met her and we got to talking, and she said that she was going to, I told her I was in pressure washing, and she said she had a wall that she needed prepped for mural. Well, I basically told her, you know, as long as it's not huge, you know, I'll go out there and, you know, check it out. So I ended up prepping that wall for her, free of charge.
Which wall was it?
The wall downtown in Guyton that she painted,
right,
with where the mural's at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I prepped that, and she was, I mean, that gave her a good canvas to that mural's pretty amazing. I'm sure you guys have seen it.
Yeah,
absolutely. I see it every day in Guyton.
But it looks awesome. She did a great job. But I did prep that for her to get that done. So,
thank you. Thank you for doing that.
It's awesome. I was glad to see it transform. So it was totally worth it to me.
We actually had her on the show when she was in the process of doing the mural. So right. It shows you what a small, tight-knit community we actually have.
Right. Yes, sir.
What does giving back to the community mean to you?
Community, you know, by definition is, you know, a whole bunch of people or businesses that come together as one. I can't do my business without you know, people coming to me. You know, you can't do your business without, you know, people coming to you. Like, everybody works together. And the best part about that is that, like, you know, everybody getting along. You know, there's too much fighting and bickering, you know, stuff like that nowadays. And just having a good community of people is, I mean, that's why I love, you know, living in Rankin, really.
Well, we've got our fingers crossed that your daughter makes the team.
Yes, sir.
And now that you mentioned that she goes to Ebenezer Middle School, is she involved with the Ebenezer Middle School Best Buddies at all?
She is.
Awesome.
She was really heavily involved at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, I'm not sure what happened. I think it clashed with she didn't go to all the events, but yeah, she's in sports and stuff. So,
yeah.
So it's kind of hard for her to go to all that stuff, but yes, she's part of the Best Buddies. That's a great program too. So.
It is. We were invited to their banquet a couple of weeks ago. We didn't even know, but we got an award for being a community partner with them because we work with them, we support them, and
congratulations.
Thank you. It's a great group, wonderful group.
Yes, sir.
Well, Ryan, thank you so much for coming on today. Tyler Myrick. This guy, I have had so many people come to me and say, when are you going to have Tyler Myrick on the show? When are you going to have Tyler Myrick? I didn't know Tyler Myrick. So, Tyler, we're glad you're here with us today. Tell us a little bit about yourself, your background.
I grew up around Effingham County, I started when I was 16. I started my business when I was 16. I got introduced to it when I was about 14. Y'all may know Mitch Durden.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So Mitch Durden, my brother worked for Mitch as a painter, but Mitch also used to do a little bit of pressure washing anyway. So he took me out to wash a gas station over near Savannah Quarters when I was like 14, 15 years old, and I was just amazed by it. I was like, this is what I want to do. Like, it was really funny. I was on a college track, you know, in high school, and I was like, I don't need to go to college. I'll just go pressure wash, you know?
And this is with Mitch Durden?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mr. Painter himself, right?
Yeah, that's right. So fast forward, I guess about a year or two later, we're at a farm auction in Springfield at the fairgrounds, and this old raggedy ass pressure washer is there, and it doesn't even crank up. I mean, it is just awful. I still have it, funny enough, but I ended up buying it for like, I think it was $200-$300. It was really cheap, and I was like, I'm gonna start a pressure washing business, you know, this is what I want to do, da 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 da. And funny enough, it was a heated unit. And so I got the motor running, I got the pump going, and I was like, yeah, all right. And then the coil immediately started leaking. So it was a cold water machine at that point. So I did that through high school and through college. It was more as a way to make some extra cash. It wasn't until I got to my first job outside of college. The guy that was on the other side of the cubicle from me also ran a pressure washing company. And we had a competition, a bet, whatever, to see who could grow the biggest within a year. And I'm a little bit competitive, so that got my fire going. Anyway, so about 6 months later, his dad had a contracting company, so he beat me. But it was all right, because that was like the beginning. That was really the true beginning. That was like 2016. That was when I really started. Prior to that, I was doing, you know, maybe a house or two a month, you know, real small, nothing crazy. But after that is when we started really grinding down and started doing probably 2 to 3 houses a week, you know, and then kept on going. And we had about 100% growth there for, I think, the next like 6 or 7 years.
Wow.
Yeah. to where we are today. And it's funny that Curtis is on here. I didn't know. I know Curtis. Curtis probably didn't realize he knows who I am. But I live downtown Springfield. So
yes, sir. I know who you are.
Yeah.
I see you around all the time.
Yeah. Ryan McClendon had...
Ryan McClendon.
Yeah. So Ryan introduced me to Doug. This was 3 or 4 years ago. You know, and it was one of those things that, like, you don't even realize how close you are to so many of these other companies. I mean, you are just one person away from meeting 10 other people that they know, you know, kind of deal. I didn't realize how close our circles were until...
Right.
Yeah. But anyway, so, yeah, I have a ton of respect for your dad. I'm sorry, I didn't know he had passed away. Just huge amount of respect for him. But anyway, so... fast forward on, we got a call from Savannah Tech for their fleet washing, or their fleet manager, and he wanted me to come out and wash their trucks. And so we went out there and washed their trucks, had their contract for about a year, and it wasn't, during that I realized, man, this is kind of like my passion. We had gotten burnt out on washing residential houses. It's just a very detailed job that requires a lot of attention and a lot of communication with individual people. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so we had been kind of looking to move away from the residential side more into the commercial side. Anyway, so we started washing for Savannah Tech, and the guy kind of he taught me in a lot of ways how to do fleet washing. And about a year into it, 2 years into it, we started growing to the point where now we wash for Pepsi across the entire state of Georgia. We are working on washing Coca-Cola across the entire state of Georgia. We wash Red Bull and Polar, and we're working on them down in Jacksonville.
Wow.
We got conversations in with Rylan. Of course, basically the southeast, or southeast of Georgia anyway. So we got a lot of our contracts are more commercial now. We've actually transitioned to where about 90% of our work is through the commercial sector, and then we fill in our mornings and early afternoons with residential houses.
So it's not, when I think of pressure washing, unfortunately, all I think about is houses. I never think about what each of you have talked about with the driveways, with commercial, and hoods like...
exhaust hoods.
Exhaust hoods, yeah. Like Curtis was talking about.
That's the nastiest job in the world.
It's pretty vast.
It is nasty.
It's nasty. I used to help him. It was nasty.
So you used to get up on the roof?
No, I went up in the
duck work.
The duck sprayed work. Up in there and poured down on you.
Yeah. I did that one time.
I did it one too many times.
Yeah. I did it once, and the chemical you use is a very aggressive chemical. Anyway, long story short, I didn't have hair on my arm, and the hair on my head started falling out. And I was like, wow. Nope. This isn't for me.
It's kind of like hair.
I got a great story about the exhaust hood plating. So this is going to link back to Effingham. So I can remember the first job I did when I was 15. If you've lived in Savannah or Effingham for any amount of time, you would know this. So if you guys know where the Home Depot is on Victory Drive, right? We all know where that is,
yeah.
Right? If you remember, across the street on the corner, there used to be a Central Park. It was years ago. I'm talking about it hasn't been there in 15 years, maybe 20 years. That was the first place we ever cleaned. I remember being 15, going there with my dad. You know, he had got a hot pressure washer at the time. Nobody had hot machines. And like I said, this is 94, 95. It was so dirty. You know, he probably didn't make a few $100. You know, dad wasn't scared of work, whatever you got to do to feed the family. That restaurant that whole corner was sold, and I think there's a Jiffy Lube over there now or something. Yes. On that side of Victory.
Yep.
That restaurant was cut in half, and it was moved out to Eden off of Highway 80. If y'all know where that Stoner's Pizza is, by the Dollar General in Eden off of Highway, off of like 80 over there, right at Old River Road.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's the old Central Park.
Oh, wow. Never knew that. It was a barbecue place a while back, wasn't it?
Yep. Now it's a pizza place. That is the original Central Park building. And the guy sold the building, and it got moved out there.
Wow.
And that's the first place I've ever done. First restaurant I ever cleaned. Yep. So there's so many different niches in the pressure washing.
Yeah.
I can talk equipment with those guys all day. Like they will tell you the different things that you've done in the business always not just correlate and relate back, but they make you better overall. So the longer you're in it, the better and more proficient you get, because the different things you see, you just understand, okay, well, this I can only clean a certain way, or that has to use so much pressure or gallons per minute or hot water or a certain chemical. And like those two gentlemen, I'm sure will tell you, you're asking about getting windows clean. Right now, the big thing is a lot of guys are using remote controls for water, for chemical, for turning machines off and on. So not only do they not have to go back to the machine or to their truck or trailer, but you can rinse your soap off, you can rinse the plants, you can water anything you're worried about, whether it's a plant or a wood deck or whatever, before you add any chemical to the area. Also, if you're worried about your batch is too hot or you got too much soap or whatever, and you can tell, you can turn it off, rinse, and then go back and adjust your chemical settings. So there's so many different facets to the business now, especially from what there was when I was a kid.
I know I've only been in the official business for 3 years, but I am learning almost every single day something different. What to use, what not to use. Property protection is a huge thing. I'll always find something new I can protect of the customer, so it doesn't, you know, damage anything. So,
when it comes to the different windows and doors on some homes, you know, if it was leaking before you got there, it's going to be majorly leaking when you leave with concentrate and water in one spot. Have you had big hiccups where you wish you wouldn't have gotten the house and had too much water coming in?
Your biggest thing you have to worry about is, if you're worried about a door, like I said, cover it in plastic. The rubber under the doors is the first thing to wear out. So a front door, back door that's used the most, the seal under the door. And like these guys will tell you, they've done houses in the past. If it's an old house and has a single pane window, there's a good chance you got to be concerned about leaking.
I always have my in my terms and conditions. Hopefully the customer reads it. If not, I don't know, they accept the estimate, so I don't know what to say. But it does bring up, you know, if the window's shut but it still leaks.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, if I don't know about it, there's nothing I can do to help out. But if I do know there's a leak, I'll have the customer put like an old towel or something down below the door, or I'll just simply not spray the door. Right. I mean, it's just depends on if it's really bad, you can also hand wash stuff. You don't have to spray a bunch of water. So it's always about, you know, last thing you want to do is get a bunch of chemical inside the door and it ruin a hardwood floor that, you know, costs thousands of dollars to get refinished. So
let me ask, talk about the weather and the temperature when you're pressure washing certain things. When it gets, the humidity gets too much up there, or it gets too hot, is there a limit that you try not to wash a home for dryness or something like that?
Tyler will tell you, the Fleet Wash guys are kind of the ones that really invented the whole remote game. But really, that's where your remote controls come in, is being able to shut that chemical off and just flow clean, fresh water. It's not, the humidity's not as important as you would think. It's the sunlight and the temperature, whether it's a vinyl siding, certain types of glass, or even in Tyler's situation, certain vehicles, certain trucks, you can't let the product dry. So you might not even leave that side of the house or leave that side of the truck or even let that window dry. You might stay right there, let it have a short dwell time, your chemical, and then rinse it with fresh water again. The biggest thing is making sure you understand the chemical, that's not too strong. And then, of course, like you were talking about before with oxidization, something to oxidize is essentially the chemical residue left on it. That's where you wouldn't let it dry.
Well, Tyler, I want to switch gears here a little bit. Can you tell us a little bit about B&I?
Unfortunately, I'm no longer in B&I, but it is just a networking group. So it's a international, it stands for Business International, or Business Networking International. It's just a really large international networking group. Me and Ryan are actually in a similar group locally for Springfield called Effingham Business Referral Partners.
EBRT.
But it's a similar program. So the idea is to get business owners together and develop relationships, and with relationships, you grow. It allows you to do a couple of different things. The biggest thing is it allows you to see local businesses work and quality. And then there is, so when you're referring people out, because we get requests every single day from customers that are looking for someone to do something, and they want someone to come in and do a quality job. And at the end of the day, Google reviews or Nextdoor apps or whatever it is, all of that can be faked. For instance, if you were to look at our Google reviews right now, we probably have 10, 12, but we've been in business for 16 years. We don't ask for anybody to do Google reviews. That's just not our thing. We rely a lot more on in-person referrals, that sort of thing. But there's other companies that I've seen with 200-300 reviews and only been in business for a year, but they're also pushing really hard to get those reviews up. So Google reviews don't tell you everything, I guess that's what I'm trying to say there. But when you're having, we have those relationships with other business owners, it will tell you. However, if I've seen you do work and I've known you for 20 years or 10 years or 5 years or whatever it is, and I've always known you to do quality work, and I know that you're going to stand behind your work, that says something. Also, there's the accountability side of that in these networking groups. If I refer Ryan to go do a job, I expect Ryan to do a good job, and Ryan's more likely to do a higher level of clean because he knows that not only his name on the line, but my name's on the line also.
Right.
Yep. So.
So, you know, I tell people reviews sometimes are a double-edged sword. Facts and truth don't always add up, you know, when you see those reviews. You know, they give you a skew of one side, and it really doesn't say the other side. And so you have to measure that. You have to look at the whole story. Sometimes there's three parts. There's one side, the other side, and somewhere in the middle.
Right.
And so... through B&I, is that how you met Faith Equestrian?
We did. Well, yes and no. I'm trying to think of when I met Faith Equestrian.
Because I want to tell you, Elizabeth Todd is your biggest fan.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. So we met. So I think I met Faith Equestrian prior to B&I. I know it was prior to B&I, which was kind of funny. So when Elizabeth started, mm-hmm. before she started, I watched the house she stays in.
Okay.
Didn't realize the correlation until probably last month, actually. I was out there watching their stadium or their arena, and I was like, you know, what's funny is I've actually been out here before, and I've watched some stuff for y'all. And she's like, you have? And I was like, yeah, it was probably, I don't know, 5-6 years ago. I watched that house right there. And she's like, huh. And I said, yeah, it was right before somebody new was coming in. I don't know if they're even here anymore. And she's like, well, that was me. So, but yeah, no, we've met. And we do a lot of work with Faith Equestrian, but our closest partner on the nonprofit side is probably the Trutland House.
The Trutland House? Mm-hmm. Okay. So you work with Kristen and Nick?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. We've been watching the Trutland House for probably 5 or 6 years now.
Oh, wow.
Every single year.
How long does it take?
Probably an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you think it'll ever get to the point where, like, people will swap? Like, you'll just bring, they'll have different people want to do it, different pressure washing companies?
I mean, maybe. We try to watch their location about every 6 months, and okay. When we first started out, we've always been community centered. We try to go like the big approach and just like help everybody a little bit. And, but we learned that, we got a little too far stretched out and we weren't able to like really meet the needs of some of these organizations we're trying to. So we had to kind of scale back our, organizations we work with and try to get a smaller group but do more for them. And that's Trutland House has been one of those ones that we've kept on our venue or our list anyway.
Yeah. So other than that, tell us something that you've done for the community.
Like I said, we work with several. So we work with Habitat for Humanity. We've done a few of their houses for them. We've washed their sign in front of the going down 21. We work with 4-H. Funny enough, I'm on a board now with them.
It's hard to say no to those boards.
It is. It's really hard to say no.
I have joined so many boards since we've started this show.
Yeah.
It's unreal. I couldn't count them on both my hands. I mean,
yeah.
It's hard to say no.
It is. But in general, we always try to keep our organizations we work for and volunteer for as a little bit of a secret. Not so much of a secret. We just don't like to tell people that what we're right. doing.
You don't want the left hand to know what the right hand's doing. You don't. You don't do it for that.
We're a Christian-based company, but so we always have believed in trying to find a way to give back, tithe in a business way. And it's funny because we've always found that we've gotten back approximately 10 to 20% or 10 to 20 times what we donate. So if we donate $1,000 job, we're going to get 10 to 20 times that back in work, and it's completely unrelated because of the fact that we don't advertise that we like. I've never put out that we washed the Trutland House for free until now. That's just not something that we wanted to do. We support several different organizations, but as we don't try to advertise it necessarily because it's not like where we see our reward. We'd rather the organization get a benefit, and if they want to tell people that we did it, fantastic, but I don't want to go around bragging about something I did.
Well, one of the things that caught my attention on social media back in February was when you did that calendar, and you had, I think it was 5 organizations in the mm-hmm. Trutland House and 4-H were in those, Faith Equestrian.
It was
Habitat for Humanity.
Yeah, the Trutland House, Faith Equestrian, Habitat for Humanity, Blue Sky Acres.
Blue Sky, that was
it. Yeah.
And that was awesome. I mean, you donated everything you made that day to each of those charities, correct?
Yeah. And we're going to try to do it again in the fall. Have a little bit prior planned. It was one of those things that, so my wife made fun of me, and she's like, why don't you name it I Care? And I said, well, it's because I wanted whenever people to hire us to say, I care as for the community. She's like, well, it sounds like you are trying to take all the credit. I was like, of course not. So.
Well. All right.
So, Tyler, I have a question for you.
Okay.
So you're doing these for free, these charities, right?
Yes, sir.
If you come across individual houses in need, throw a few my way. I try to do mainly for people that I know that are either widows, disabled child, or any people with cancer. Yeah. I found, you know, I try to do 3 to 6 a year. I'm with you. I don't post on Facebook. Don't post on social media. I'm not going to tell you the last ones I've done for free. I'm not going to tell you who they are. Some have been in Effingham, some have not. But I'm with you, man. I found out that you don't have to put anything out there or tell anyone, and God always blesses you and gives you back. Like, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable the how much you get back from it. I mean, if I do one house for someone for free, and I might not have 4 jobs lined up the rest of that month, and then all of a sudden, by the end of that week, the rest of the month will fill up. Like, it's a blessing every time.
Hey, Kurt, I got
know
a
you're
question.
Not doing. I know you're not doing individual houses that much. So if you have any, definitely throw some my way or put my name in the hat.
Hey, Kurt, I got a question for you. as long as I've known, you know, you and Doug, I never known any of the stuff that he gave back on the community from his business. Can you throw some of those things out there?
I know he used to do, his was always like restaurant exhaust hood related. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he would give a lot back. He would do churches and things like that. And if he charged them, it was really low. And his give back too was a lot of times to his own employees,
right?
You know, he would give a lot of bonuses, what he would call a loan, but most of the time the loans weren't paid back. things like that, you know. He was big into my dad was huge into tithing. I think he at one time he was tithing 30% of his business. I mean, it was an astronomical amount. My dad went to the grave not owing a dime on anything. His business doing very, very well. Great ROI, unbelievable gross for one crew. You know, was doing all the military bases, hospitals, all the top golf courses, golf communities, Gulfstream for 20 plus years. And I mean, it was funny because, you know, he gave back, but he always contributed that. He always tithed so much.
You know,
he wouldn't talk about it. He wouldn't brag about it. He never did. He never did.
You know, Curtis, when I picked up what your father did was, he would hire somebody when nobody else would. I've seen him hire men in desperation when other people have, you know, wrote them off. And then I've also seen him where they've self-destructed and cost him a lot of money. And from time to time, he would come by my shop and we would strike up a conversation. And he covered their transgressions with grace. You know, anybody else would be hot-headed, wanting to fire him, and it cost him money when they would, you know, not prep it right. And he really impacted his employees and their families. I think you understood that he didn't just hire a man; he hired their family. I think that was maybe the biggest thing I could think about your dad. Your dad, he didn't just hire an employee. That individual became part of him and their family. So I always thought
he
that
definitely was. He definitely gave them more opportunities than I would.
Yeah,
I'll say that
he covered their transgressions with grace. I mean, he was how he not blew his top is more than maybe what he probably did at times. But some of them can just self destruct, and but he would cover their transgressions with grace. And. And I really thought that he gave a lot of people a lot of opportunity. Other people would write him off, but your dad he was there to help him. And I don't think he never let the left hand know what the right hand was doing. But he was an impactor for their families, their children, their wives. And I don't think none of them done without food. That's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I have so many stories of from when I was a kid, him giving back even before he had his business, but he was not the kind of person that would talk about it.
Mm-mm.
He wouldn't brag about it. The only thing he would ever tell me about or tell anybody about was the tithing thing. Because of his Christian principles, he thought that that was the way that God always made sure you were covered. You know, he would always tell me, render under Caesar's that which is Caesar's. And I knew what he was talking about whenever he'd quote that to me. He was talking about, make sure you're tithing. And he was talking about personal and business. And I think, Tyler, man, I think you're on the right track. And even if you don't have the financial cash to give it that week, I mean, if you go wash a car for somebody, if you go wash a house for somebody, if you go wash a building for someone, whether it's a widow or somebody, an elderly person or somebody that's handicapped or whatever, I mean, it does come back. And Tyler's right, it comes back, seems to be tenfold. Right. I know you guys being Masons and Shriners, I know you definitely see it, you know, and you're blessed to see that. But people that have a business and have means coming in that they don't realize other people don't, they take it for granted and they don't give back. And I'm like, just do it one time, two times in a year, and just see. You don't even have to have money and give away. Just have that job that was you're gonna charge somebody as simple as $400 or $500 for, and just don't charge them anything, and just see. You got to tell them about it until you leave the job.
Well, you know, Curtis, everybody at this table, including you, I believe we all have a servant's heart. You know, the proverb says, one man gives freely, only to gain even more. One man holds back unduly, to come to shame and obscurity. For as we refresh others, ye ourselves shall be refreshed. I think when we choose to do that, one person gives freely. A servanthood of free, what was given to them. You can't outgive. So I just think that's one of the mottos that we have here in Effingham County. And I think Ryan over there, he said he's sure I'm glad he's part of Effingham County. And I think that's what we do. I think it's in our water. We drink somewhere in Effingham County. We're a loving community, and we do a lot individually and collectively. So hats off to you.
So it's funny that you say that when generally if we were to donate to an individual, we never tell them prior to showing up that we're going to donate, the house is going to be free. For me, that's my enjoyment. Like, it's whenever I'm wrapping up the hose and they're trying to bring you money or whatever, and you're like, no, I'm not charging you today. And then just watching their face go into some like questioning, we've seen people cry, which is very touching. But most of the time, they just go into like a really confused face, and it's, there's nothing more enjoyable than, for me, to watch people's 100% unprotected like emotions. So
I kind of see the other end of that, because I do, every quarter I give away a house wash at Greenside. They do bingo on Tuesday nights.
Mm-hmm.
So every quarter I'll give away a house wash. So
that's a good idea.
To watch like awesome. 150 people, the grand prize is a house wash. I get to sit back and watch how they got one number left. Like, they're all, you know, excited.
They're fired up.
So I get to see that part of it. You know, it's kind of cool. But
yeah.
Well, guys, yes,
it's interesting, because, you know, it doesn't matter if you live in a trailer or $1.5 million home. Most people, their home is their pride and joy.
Yes.
Absolutely. So, and even if they can't afford it, just to give them that thing, to take care of that one possession that they're so proud to have, it does go a long way. It is awesome.
Well, guys, I'm so thankful for each of y'all in this community, this great community we live in. Thank you so much for all the give back you do for the community. Thank you for striving as small businesses. I wish us from Effingham Talks wish you nothing but the best. And if there's anything we can do for each of you,
absolutely,
just let us know. you know, you give us your content, we'll try to put it out there for you.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, we're always here for you. You know, we love you, Curtis, and we'll hopefully y'all come back on the show again, and thank y'all for coming on.
Yes, sir. Thank you.